Good evening. This is the Raven.
And I'm D-Way.
And we are recording this at home. My son has agreed to have a conversation with me. We used to do this on air every week, and life took over and gave us tasks that had to be done. So every time we have these conversations, I'm very grateful to my son. Thank you.
Well, thank you, the Raven, for challenging us to be alive.
Well, that's the Earth challenging us. And
are you a part of that Earth?
Well, I see myself as the secretary to the ancestors. I had a job once where all I did was type up the words of others. And little did I know, that was my calling. Anywho, this is a fill-in conversation for a postponed April 2nd, 2017 show. We had no internet stream, and so that show is now April 9, this coming Sunday. My son and I are speaking on April 4th, 2017. Thank you for joining us in this conversation. We are in the midst, during the Waking Up Radio discussions, of trying to figure out what we've been calling Socrates' dilemma. And it has been a dilemma not just for Socrates, but for Jesus and for many prophets of class whose names I do not know, but also definitely for Alice Miller and for Prince. Prince came to this planet to model for us being vibrant, being fully alive. Alice Miller came to this planet to help diagnose the problem too. What is getting in the way of our being fully alive? Prince answered this with the model of himself. Prince believes that we need to be shown that words are not enough alone, and that we need to see it. We need to see vibrancy. We need to see authenticity, because these power guys are good at imitating, and they study us for what a human being is supposed to be like. They do. I'm not joking. And they are good mimics. So they mimic vibrancy. Prince was the real deal, and we could feel it because he could speak on it. He could help us understand the problem, which is that we don't own our bodies. Now, no mimicking intercepting agent is going to tell us that it is an abomination for our human energy to be a commodity, to be on the market, to be commanded by others, by any but ourselves. And this is where we are at in our reading of Proudhon. He is saying that where we are going as a human species, for lack of a better word, where we are going is to that time when every man and woman is king and queen. That is our destiny, unless we allow the few to install feudal chaos. And that is to install a system of totalitarian class that we can't undo. We have been calling that system a crooked road that got installed way back when, a few thousand years ago, and that we are now at a point, because of Nikola Tesla, because distance and our isolation from each other has been the problem keeping us from figuring this out and working together as a globe to straighten out that crooked road. We have to go back, see where we went wrong, which is allowing others to keep us and relinquishing our unique gifts, our power, and then straighten that road out, reclaim our gifts, our power. That's where we are at. That's what Prince was trying to do. That's my hope, is to assist, be of some help in that process, because every single one of us deserves to be free. I do not want to see another child brought into a world of duplicity. From my seat and from Prince's, I am confident the problem was all the lies. We come to this earth and are lied to about everything. The entire world around us is false. And then our children are then commandeered and ushered into a conditioning process in which they are told what to work on. This is unnatural. In a world in which only truth exists around us, we come into an authentic world and we assess what's needed and we make it better and better and better. When they commandeer our children by forcing them into a false world, giving them false information, what we see and what has been happening is a world that is getting worse and worse and worse. So there is nothing more important right now than regaining our own thought process and doing our best to allow only truth be what our children's brilliance works on. Because it is their brilliance and their fresh thinking that we need, but they have to have truth to be of assistance. Otherwise, they get commandeered by those in power and basically, like all of us, get turned into the state to continue to dig our own graves. This has to stop. Prince came as a prophet. From my perspective, he is our hope. It's not just his gift of prophecy that gives me hope. The fact that he consistently said, he sees the dawn. He knows it's coming. It ain't gonna be long. I mean, we need to hear that, because these guys have been working on our minds for a long time to discourage us, to tell us that our future is the apocalypse. Get ready for it. Dog eat dog, man against man, etc., etc. That's what we've been told to prepare ourselves for. That's a lie. Prince came and said that over and over. Joy is right there. Let's grab it. Let's help each other. We can do this. We need those words of hope.
Yeah, when I'm reminded of his brilliance when listening to his music, for me, that's really what he does, is provide hope and, I guess, proof. That I'm on the right track, that listening to your body is the most important thing that you can do, listening to your heart. Today was such a beautiful day today, and I was riding around trying to get my bike fixed, and I was just out in this, you know, sunshine and thinking how nice it is not to be at work, and how most people are just in a different paradigm. I was thinking of Ferdinand the Bull, my favorite book from back in the day. And I like it so much because that character, the bull, just wants to sit in the field and smell the flowers with the bees and all these people looming around this creature have other plans for this bull. And for a while, Ferdinand, yeah, fights, but just... you know, goes out there but doesn't fight, and so ends up just on the hillside again with his flowers and nature. And you know, stories like that and reminders that no one can tell you who you are.
That's funny because I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
Is really important. And Prince, that's one of his, like you said, his messages is not to be ashamed of your body and I or you know who you are or your sexuality or whatever, to love yourself and have no fear, something that is incredibly a powerful message.
It's funny you're saying that Ferdinand the Bull was one of your favorite stories as a child, because that I did not know. Mm-hmm. See, I'm his mom. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to have these little check-in conversations now and then, because you realize that you don't necessarily know. I mean, particularly in my case, having changed from, and we should talk about that at some point. I don't feel like I'm the same person I was when I was your mom, so it's not surprising. There's things I was disconnected from. But I did not know that Ferdinand the Bull was one of your favorite stories. I thought one of your favorite stories was Freight Train, and it had no words. It just had the image of getting out of here, moving, which for me conveys the notion of being stuck. And so I have different memories of what were your favorite stories. From my memory, your favorite stories were all around wanting a different place. You loved the stories that took you to a different world, like Brian Jakes and the Red Wall series. You loved stories that explained things you didn't understand or empathized with you, like there was a Sesame Street book in which Grover and what was the other character? Had an argument, and one of the lines was, "Why are you mad at me?" or something like that. Do you remember the book I'm talking about?
That was Bert and Ernie, yeah.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. What was the story?
They got in a fight one night, and I believe Ernie somehow just left because I don't remember, but Ernie eventually came. Ernie eventually came home and they worked it out. But there was a line in there, yeah, why are you...
I'm sorry what did he say?
I'm sorry I yelled, come back home or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry I yelled at you. Mm-hmm. I remember this because there's certain books you wanted me to read over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And that was one of them. And it really... now, looking back at it, because I was asleep, children show us what's up for them in the stories they want to hear, in the play that they initiate. Hmm. And I have to say, I grieve about so many things right now. I'm in this long, extended moment of grief because of the loss of Prince. And because I'm just open more for a variety of reasons. And so I think back on my absence when you were little because I was stuck in a job. And this is what I'm trying to stop, is our losing what's most important while trying to please external power, external authority, rather than the authority of the earth, what our body says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to dwell on Ferdinand too long, but that is, you get the sense from the book that the earth is a strong pull because there's shots of the silhouette of just...
Where did you hear this book? Because we did not have it. I mean, I know for a fact, we did not own this book because I had to, when I heard somebody talking about it on the radio, it sounded interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And so I had to, go out and get it. But this was, as, this was a long time after you were a child, so I'm just wondering where you heard this book.
Well, we do have it.
I know. I bought it.
Now?
I mean, I bought it when I went out to look for it.
Oh, and yeah. When was this?
It wasn't one of the books I read to you. You were no longer a child. So I'm just wondering.
I probably read it in school, though.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's not important. The point is that the theme of the book is powerful to me because of the draw of the earth, and that Fernand is so connected to it, and that it's important to this character. And I liked it. I liked the fact that the character appeared to be lazy, but that it was a good thing. It was a, you know, and I think the more there is a dialogue, what you're saying, talking to children authentically about what's going on, and you know, because we rush them to school, and we're telling. I mean, that's exactly what happens in Ferdinand. That, you know, he's rushed off to do this thing that he doesn't want to do.
So how do we stop this treadmill? How do we intervene in a totalitarian system? It grabs our children. It immediately starts indoctrinating them in the notion that they have to perform.